you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and God, set apart thy word, help us to understand, and God, to have the benefit of being in your presence, in the presence of thy word, and that we're able to read and see and understand, and then to reap the benefit. So help us in every way, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of late, we've been looking at Joshua, and then we went over to Ephesians because of the wonderful success that Joshua was having at that particular point in history. And we went to Ephesians because the believers, wonderful as Israel was at that point in Joshua, God has given us an awesome relationship to himself. And we're to exercise that relationship. God died on the cross, and he saves us. And when we receive him as our Savior, God brings himself in the person of Christ by the Spirit of God. He brings himself and finds his home in the heart of the believer. And thus, like we shared this morning, that life is what he wants to live. He wants to exercise that life. And all things are passed away, Galatians, 2 Corinthians 5. God makes us new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. God wants us to understand. He isn't going to trust, and we are not to be caught up in. We live it 24 hours a day in this earthly body, and we live it on planet Earth. We're very earthbound. We're very human. We have an old sin nature that loves and likes to stay right where it is. And it doesn't want to be disturbed in that sense. You know, how do you mean disturbed? Christ crucified your old nature. That's what he thinks about it. He terminated it because it keeps you from knowing and enjoying God. Therefore, you learn to trust God. You receive him and you trust him. And therefore, the armor of God, as we're reading in chapter 6 a little bit, in the armor of God, what do we have? We have all the human, we're seated in heavenly places. We have all the resources of heaven. In Christ, in your heart, you have nothing lacking. All of the wonderful life of God and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that is to be yours. God, the peace, the shalom, the wholeness, the completeness, the wellness, the perfectness. Never troubled, never at strife, never division. Perfect, perfect peace. And thus, when we read, and well, you're in Ephesians 6, and we read in the armor of God is to, and the armor belongs to God, and therefore we read in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation, the readiness of the gospel belonging to peace, that belongs to peace. The good news, the wonderful good news of God, that he has taken care of all the bad news, and he crucified you and gave you a wonderful opportunity to know him and to honor him and enjoy him. And therefore, your feet are shod, as we looked at the feet, and those shoes, the sandals, the military boots that they wore, cleated, they weren't smooth, cleated. Why? so they could stand the military generals wouldn't have had that, but the soldiers did. They had to stand against the enemy, and the enemy comes, or they had to charge, and they had to have solid footing, the readiness of your footprints, the readiness of your feet when you go forward. They're ready. The peace of God, you have the peace of God. You're resting in the good news that God has given you a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to go forward. And to go forward and not only to outwork the will of God for your life, but to hold your ground, stand therefore, to be able to withstand all that would encroach and come and push you back. But it's hard to push them back because their feet are locked on to the ground. And it doesn't matter what the ground is, those shoes are made to hold them so they don't slip and slide, so they can stand their ground. Why can they stand their ground? Because of the gospel, the wonderful peace of God that has settled everything with God. So all of that which opposes God that comes at us can't get very far, because the peace of God, the armor of God, the shoes, the cleats belong as the military, as you have the military, so they belong to the believing heart. And the God is able to hold us. And we don't all panic about it. We aren't going to panic. Go over to John chapter 14 for a minute. Again. John chapter 14. And you remember. In chapter 14, picking up, please, our Lord in the upper room said that in all of those wonderful, wonderful, wonderful statements. Chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. So the peace of God, the armor, the feet shod with the gospel of peace, it isn't your peace or my peace. It's his peace. God is able to sustain and continue uninterrupted his wonderful saving grace in your life. And nothing stops him at all. Sickness, disease, coming and going, nothing disturbs. God's perfectly at peace of what he does, and nothing moves him from his peace. Therefore, God is giving us, in light of our own nature, verse 26, 27, fear, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And they were understanding, they were facing that God is going to do a wonderful thing on the day of Pentecost, and the church and all of that is going to be, but they're in trouble already. How troubled are they? They're waiting to crucify Christ. That's how troubled it is. They're 1 hour away in the morning. They're going to crucify him. That's how troubled they were. And you'll see it again in chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The trouble. Over to chapter 16. And chapter 16. And we share together. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you. In me you might have peace, my peace. But in the world ye shall have tribulation, trouble, squeezing, pressure. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Put on the whole armor of God so that you understand. Everything that would upset and discourage and trouble and cause trouble, let the peace of God be, have your shoes on tight and just stand in the situation, in the moment of history. You're working through history. Stand and be at peace. Whose peace? His. His peace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, open if you would, in the light of that, put on the armor of God, and one other place where you're here, over to Philippians, just for a moment, and remember, Philippians, gonna trust, look to God, chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and the same thing we've just been saying, now I'm gonna read it. Chapter 4, verse 7, verse 6, be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything. Literally, stop worrying, command. It isn't a request. Stop. Stop worrying. Quit it. Worry ends up in sin. And you don't have to be in that place where you're troubled and you're trusting your old nature and you're leaving out the wonderful saving grace of God that gives you his peace. You have the gospel, the good news. Therefore, by prayer and everything, by prayer and supplication, looking to God with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we did that, but just verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes, while you're trusting God, you're not worrying, you're letting the gospel of peace, you're letting God's wonderful, tranquilized heart. I don't even think that's good enough. They can use it for English. Can't use it for God. I don't say his heart's tranquilized. His heart doesn't have to be tranquilized. Doesn't have to be. No. Now, so therefore, verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you can't understand it. God is just going to keep the shoes on, stand your ground, and stop worrying, and hold on to whatever, because God's perfect peace, he's at peace about it. You just got the mumps and the measles and everything else. But be at peace. The most that you could ever happen, if God wanted it, is you would die. And that's all that's going to happen. And God said, I wish you'd stop worrying about dying. Why did you say that, God? Why did you say that? Because when you receive the Lord as your Savior, I am the resurrection and the life. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God said what? I give you, I'm going to be in your heart. I am now your life. Learn to fellowship with me and enjoy the trip. So as we go through, I'm at peace about the whole ball of wax that's a mess. But hang in there. Just go down the corridor of time and be at peace. Why? Because I give you, I'm going to be in your, remember, you live inside this body. This isn't you. You live in this. Take your hand off, you're the same. You live inside the body. And we know that we do that. How do we pronounce you dead? We're looking to find you. And when we can't find you in here, we call you dead. Because you died. You moved. You don't live here anymore. So when we, God, what are we doing? When I saved you, I am your life. I bought you. You're not your own, 1 Corinthians 6. You're bought with a price. I'll take care of you. You can never die. You can never die. You have a relationship to me, isn't right here and now, that can never be interrupted. The only ones that louse it up is you and me. We don't enjoy it. We don't believe. We don't trust God. We worry. We do everything, and we lose out. So, in the process, God said, trust me. Trust me. Nothing can ever happen. All most you can do is have horrible pain. And I'm going to in the past, the Inquisition, all different kinds of things. In the future, tribulation, horrible kinds of things. And God's going to let the believers die. But there's no problem, he said. Don't you understand? It's not an issue. They think they won, but they always lose. They always lose. Because if I'm for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Now, having just that little bit to get your mind, and therefore the peace of God passes all understanding. So, having said that and a little bit, and remember now in one other place, I guess, Isaiah, just to do it again, Isaiah chapter 26. And God looking into the kingdom, I remind you, and just a reminding, it'll stay with you when you aren't looking at it. You don't have to look at the Bible. You can be driving your car, whatever, facing something, and because it's stuck in here, in your heart, it's just there. I got it, God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26. And remember, God is going to put salvation up for walls. What kind of protection are they going to have in the kingdom? God's saving grace is going to protect them. We need brick and stone. No, no. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do it. And how so? Because when I'm taking care of you, verse 3, and thou will keep him in perfect peace. Remember, peace, peace, shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Whose mind is stayed, whose imagination is set like you're sitting in the pew, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in me, trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord with all thy forever, and for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's what they did. What's going to be so wonderful? You're learning to trust God. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. It's a little harder now. We aren't in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it has a different kind of difficulty. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, go over, if you would please, back over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, so God's wonderful shoes to hold us and keep us. Now, has the armor of God on? And let me find where you are. I'm still here, okay. There we are. Here's your boots, if you want to know what they are. There's the boots. Now, got the armor of God. Now, the problem is, fortunately, I didn't do this, it broke off. But it broke off purposely for me to illustrate it. Now, this is wonderful. He got the armor. The only trouble is, everything's hitting him. He has to face things in his inside of him, and he has to face that. He has to face everything coming at him. It comes off of him. So it's awful hard. As all this happens, you have to experience the hardness, the difficulty, the pain, the problem. You have to go through it. You have to experience it. But there's some things that wouldn't it be nice if you could stop, because the enemy isn't nice. And therefore, in Ephesians 6 and in verse 16, above all, in everything, having done all, make sure you have taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he's going to, one of the things they faced, the enemy would shoot arrows, javelin, spears, arrows and balls of fire. They would shoot them and put tar and pitch on the thing and light it, and boom, And they, so now it's one thing to get all the other things coming at us, but wouldn't it be good if, when it's one thing to have the hot fireballs sitting on us. So God, how do we stop some of this? We can't stop it. Some of it, what do we need? We need the shield. We need the shield. You need a shield so that when the fireball comes, put the shield up. When the arrow's in the air, put the shield up. It'll stop. This fellow has to get his shield back. Has to get his shield back. Now, all the dots, the fire, they're there. They're there. Principalities and powers, we did this. It's the system we live in is overwhelming. It isn't just us earthlings. It's all the big system that controls the whole ball game. It's in the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Therefore, in the process, here we're to go and put the shield. Now, as you think of that, and as you seek to understand that, the shield, it's a shield. And you're looking at it, actually, in the process. I just had the shield up. Here it is. And the process, so what's the shield? Well, the shield's going to go and help us to understand. So as we look at the shield isn't like a round thing. It isn't a round shield. It isn't that kind. It's a door. It's a big triangle, like 4 feet long. 4 feet long. Wood made of leather, elephant skin, all that. They put it on. So that's how they build these shields. This is one kind of shield. This isn't the shield, though, that you're reading about. You're talking about the door, the big 4-foot shield that they put in front of them. They can put all of them up, stop the arrows coming. Wow. Fireballs, they put it on. You gotta have that armor on. So the shield is 4 feet. 4 feet. So it's very, very big. It's big. And they have that shield. So they're going to take to them the shield of faith, the shield of faith that belongs to faith. And that's what they're going to do, put that shield up. What's the shield of doing? Now all the armor of God, the peace of God, and now the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? Faith. When you have faith, one word, you're talking about, you need to have faith in God. That's the faith, that's the noun. When you say the verb, you say believe. Believe, the verb, be believing, it produces faith. That's the noun. Believe, the noun. They go together. They go together. So, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you put the little word the in front of it, the faith, subjective, faith, objective, the faith. That's what he's putting up, the faith. He has faith. He's putting up the faith. He's putting up what God has said. Let me illustrate it for you, if I can. Over, if you would, please. To do it if I can, over to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 15. And you'll see it. Remember Abraham? And Abraham is going to go, and he's going to save Lot's from the kings. He has his victory, and he comes back, chapter 14 of Genesis. And Abraham comes back. He goes to Melchizedek, the high priest, and gives his offering, his tokens of the victory and thanksgiving to God, to Melchizedek the priest. And in the process, verse 19, and he blessed him, And blessed be Abram, verse 19, 14, 19, Genesis. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, etc. Now, so here comes Lot, comes along, and Lot wants to show his gratitude for saving everybody. And in the process, remember, Lot offers him, and God was going to, I'll read verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And Lot, Sodom came along, the king, and he was going to give Abraham all the possessions. He had to keep the people. And in the process, Abraham said, chapter 14, and in verse 23, that I will not take from a thread, even to the shoelatch, and that I will not take anything. I won't take even a shoelace from you. I don't want a shoelace. I don't even want a string from you. I will not take anything that is thine. I don't want anything that's yours, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich. Save only, and then he took booty and spoil for all the men that fought with him. Now, so he did that. He said, I don't want anything in your system. Now, what did God do? And the enemy, fighting the enemy. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I'm everything to you. I'm all you need, like we did this morning. I am all you need, Abram. Now, Abraham was about having a child, etc. And Abraham looked up to the sky, and he said, he believed God, and he didn't. The law says you can't, if you can't have any children, you can adopt whatever. You can do that, but if you do have a real son, the real son takes over the adopted position. So Abraham said, well, I could adopt something. And God said, you don't have to do that. I'm going to give you a child. And that's what Abraham believed God. He looked up chapter 15 and verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. God believed. God did that. Now, got that little bit of background. God was going to do. It's going to take 25 years, but God's going to do it. And so over to Romans 4. And in Romans chapter 4, picking up, if I may, and Romans in chapter 4. And thus, in chapter 4, what do we have? Well, we have Abram. And now, so we're going to look at, remember what we said, the word faith. So here we have chapter 4, going, if I can, to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God is going to count that faith for righteousness. That's what he's going to do. So in the process as counting the faith for righteousness, God's going to go and do that. Abraham believed God. Now he waited, he believed, he waited. But in waiting, he got discouraged, and that's how Ishmael and all these other things come in. But God made a promise, and God waited till Abraham got into the place where he was 100% set on trusting God. Wasn't going to argue, wasn't going to debate anymore, wasn't going to say anything. He would just plain believe God, period. Now, hang on. Having said that, over to Romans and chapter 4, and sliding over to verse 18, if I may. So we're going to go from the verb to the noun. And over here, chapter 4, verse 18. Verse 18 is the verb. Boom, 18. Who against hope believed, that remember believe in faith, one's the verb, one's the noun. So, verse 18, for who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now we go from the verb to the noun. Verse 19, for being not weak in faith, and here, when it doesn't show it in your King James, whatever, but being not weak in, and this little word the in front of it, the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. Believe, the verb. The body of truth that is to be believed, the faith. What did he do? He believed what God said. He believed it. Out here, God said it. I believe what you're saying. And it translates, I have faith in what you're saying, and I believe in my heart. I receive it. I receive what I'm believing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, so therefore, verse 19, and not being weak in faith, in the faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's impossible. That's right. God waited till he was going to get all the credit. No one's going to debate this. God has to get the credit for Isaac. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelieving, but was strong in faith. There's the little word the in front of it again. He was strong. He believed what God said, and he continued to believe what God said. God said it, and his faith claimed it. He claimed, I believe, by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He had to believe. And Abraham believed. He believed what God said. That's what he did. And God honored it. He staggered not at the promise of God. And verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had said, he was able also to do what he said. God's able to do what he says. And I believe. Believe, faith. They go together. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, and now to do that, if you want a little different way, we got, well, not much time, a little time. Over, if we can, over to the book of Deuteronomy. You had to believe what God says. What do you say? Hold forth the shield, holding forth the faith, the shield of faith. That's what you're going to do. You're going to hold that forth. Why? You want to stop all the dumb stuff that's coming at you. You aren't stopping everything, but you're at least keeping the things that are messy. Getting hit with a tar ball is not very good. If it's on fire, I don't think. So it'd be nice to stop it out here before it ever got to me. That's what I got. So God, all of that's out there. So make sure you have the shield of faith on. You got your armor on, good. But in order to make sure you don't have to get clipped over and over again beyond what you have to, make sure you have your shield of faith and believe. Now, having said that, in Deuteronomy, I don't think we have time for Deuteronomy. What do we have time for? Over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. At least you're getting the idea. You got to have the shield. It protects you. God, what did you say? Now, the Master, God Himself in Christ, God Himself in Christ, as perfect man, practiced what we're talking about. He said, I want to, and He did it. Our Lord's whole life was to help us understand how to live. And therefore, so here comes the devil, chapter 4 and verse 1. And then was Jesus led up in the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards was hungry. Now you certainly get hungry after 40 days. And he's hungry. But that's the test. That's the test. So therefore, God, devil's throwing fireball at him. What are you going to do? He puts up the shield of faith, our Lord does, same as you can. He did it, I can do it, you can do it. Put up shield of faith. What did he do? Chapter 4 and in verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Deuteronomy chapter 8. So, now there's going to be two more. Each time, how do you defend yourself from the fireballs? How are you going to do it? You're going to believe what God said. That's what you're going to do. You're a believer. Believe. I remember in the big IFCA meeting once, and I was saying, talking about at the board meeting or something. I said, you need to be a believing believer. And they said, what do you mean, believing believer? What do you think? What is that supposed to be? Some special thing? No, believers are supposed to believe. And if the believer doesn't believe, he's no difference than anybody else. You got to be a believer. That's believing. God, our Lord, believed. And thus in the second temptation, and verse 7, Jesus said unto him, for it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, to jump off and save yourself, fall down and never get hurt. God said, don't tempt God. That's what it says. He didn't tell anything. You and I can say the same thing. We can read Deuteronomy and say the same thing. Third test, in verse 8. Again, the devil taketh them up into a high, exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, because he's the God of this world, and the whole world system is under his control. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. In other words, I'll get out of the way from being their God and boss. I'm going to give you the right to boss them. You can take over my position as king, and you can boss all these nations. You can boss them all, and you can do that, you know. And all you have to do is bow down and worship me, said the devil. That's all I want you to do. I want a public recognition that I want to enjoy the status and the position you have as the Son of God. And if the Son of God will bend his knee to me, I want everyone to see it and know it. And that's enough for me, said the devil. Our Lord answered it, what you believe. Thus, verse 10, thus saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, and none other. How did he answer anything? He believed by faith, what I believe. By faith, I'm taking God at his word and letting it be my protection. And you'll have to, the Lord Jesus said, and the devil can't do anything, let alone a dumb human. You can't override God. How are you going to override God? You put God's word out? How are you going to say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Now, how are you going to get them, make that all go away? Well, we can tear it up, throw it away, do whatever you want. He's still, God so loved the world, whether you write it, read it, or destroy every, like back in Germany and then, destroy everything. Get rid of it. You can't change anything. God happens to be God. And he gave his word so you would know and understand. So therefore, put on the whole armor of God. Make sure your feet, get your cleats on. And you're going to stand. It's coming against you. And, by the way, add your shield. So the dumb fireballs coming at you, etc., missiles, arrows, let them hit the shield, the door. Let them hit the shield. So you save yourself. Save yourself. People say, I don't believe you're saved. I can't help it. I remember when years, many, 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 many years ago, and I had all my Catholic relatives lined up. They lined up, and I came home from California and engineering and all that stuff. And I came home, and they were all there, big meeting. They're going to help me. They're going to help me. That's what they did. And they said, whatever. I remember sitting in the middle of the room, and I said, listen, God, I can't give you all of it, but God did. My little old heart, I said, listen, God died on the cross to save me, and I believed and received him as my Savior. As you knew, but you now need to know even more so. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. And no matter what anyone does, say, think, you can't change it. You can't change what he has done in saving my life. No one can touch it ever. And what happened to the fear of death? Death goes out the window. Because of what? All I have life. And that life can never end. Because God never ends. I'm in his presence forever. And thus, you get the idea. I got to quit. We're over. Make believe we aren't over. You got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and work and your saving grace. Thank you very much. Thank you that we're able to have what? We're able to have our feet. We're able to have you in our heart for our feet. And we're able to be in your heart for your feet. And God, so we stand firm, even so come.